This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen joining you. Legionnaire's disease. It's a rather deadly form of pneumonia. And with the recent increase of cases in the Bronx in New York City, health officials are warning New Yorkers to be on the lookout for this disease. Well, here with more on this is Dr. Robert Lennox, professor of medicine emeritus and the past chief of the Division of Pulmonary Critical Care at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Lennox. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
So, 11 cases I have here of the disease were reported in the Bronx in December of 2014, and that was compared to only 2 in December of 2013 and only 3 in December of 2012. That seems to be like almost a 300% increase in the number of cases. Tell me about that. I mean, does it pose any threat to us, for example, here in central New York, to see this boost, this bump in cases? Okay.
So it probably represents no threat to us compared to our underlying risk for this disease. About 2% of all pneumonias that are caught in the community are Legionnaire's pneumonia or Legionnaire's disease. And of those who get admitted to the hospital with serious illness, it represents a higher percentage than that. So we always have to keep it in mind.
So that's the point. I mean, let's start out. I think it'd be helpful to try to define what we mean when we say Legionnaire's disease. What is it exactly, and how do we get it?
Okay. It's a bacteria, and it commonly lives in water. So any water source can lead to infection with this. So the history of the disease is it was identified in 1976, and it occurred at American Legion convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and there was a air conditioning unit that the water from the air conditioning condensing was infected with Legionella and spread it through the air conditioning. So many of the American Legion attendees at that meeting came down with a very serious pneumonia.
I read that 221 people got sick and 34 of them died, so yes. That's a pretty high percentage. Yeah.
And at that time, we didn't know of the existence of the organism. That outbreak led to the identification of the organism. And
the naming of it, in fact, right?
Yes.
Because we call it Legionnaire's disease after that occurrence, and the name of the bacterium is called Legionella.
That's correct.
So that's pretty profound.
Yes.
But you yourself have had some personal experience with that back in 1976.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I was an intern in 1976, and the index case, the first person to come down with pneumonia, went to the convention and then returned to the hospital I was doing my internship at and became very seriously ill with pneumonia. We treated them with what we considered broad-spectrum antibiotics, but as it turns out, they weren't the right antibiotics, and the patient went on and died very quickly, very rapid downhill course, with bilateral serious pneumonia and eventually respiratory failure and death. We didn't know there was an epidemic at that time, but fortunately, the attending physician wanted very much to get an autopsy, and the family agreed to it, and that patient's lungs were available to the CDC. The next day, another small hospital in Pennsylvania had 3 cases. So they all came back from the same
convention,
so that they knew that there was something connected to that convention that led the CDC to investigate, and then the CDC had the lungs from the autopsy on the patient who died in our hospital, and they were able to identify the organism, which had not been identified before, but had been felt to cause outbreaks in the past.
Yeah, I was asking you about that actually before we started our conversation. You said that there was some disease called Pontiac?
There was an outbreak of pneumonia and fever in Pontiac, Michigan. They never found the organism, but they went back after Legionella was identified, and there were antibodies to that organism in the people who had that fever.
So they linked that. So the fact was, this so-called Legionnaire's disease pre-existed this 1976 outbreak, mm-hmm. but they had no way of naming it or understanding it fully.
Yes,
and so
correct.
When it broke out in 76, your case
helped the CDC
define
figure it out.
Yes. And identify it. And in fact, it became named, as we said, for that particular outbreak. Okay. So help us again. How dangerous is it? I mean, what's the fatality rate?
The fatality rate is higher than most bacterial pneumonias, but with proper treatment, which we know what to treat with now, the chances of dying are much less, particularly if the treatment is started early. Because of the seriousness of the illness, the recommendations for empiric therapy, that is therapy without knowing what the organism is that's causing pneumonia, for community-acquired pneumonia, that is pneumonia acquired outside of the hospital or healthcare setting, the recommendations include an antibiotic that will cover Legionella and several other bacteria that we normally don't think of when we think of community-acquired pneumonia.
So in other words, the approach these days is to do a broad-spectrum antibiotic, including what would kill Legionella.
Yes, until we get the
until
culture.
You know otherwise.
Yes.
So you don't even wait to try to figure out the
That's
bug.
Right.
You kind of just cover yourself.
You try to get cultures and start the antibiotic as soon as possible.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pulmonologist Dr. Robert Lennox. We're talking about Legionnaire's disease. So just remind us again how it's contracted. You literally are exposed to water drops, water vapor. How does that happen?
If the water gets aerosolized and you inhale it,
like
it's in
steam,
your lungs,
for example?
Steam may be too hot and may kill the organism, but hot water will not, and chlorine doesn't do that good of a job of killing the organism. So it lives in the water supply. So if you take a shower and it's aerosolized, the water, you can inhale it and catch the infection, or as the original infection or outbreak was from an air conditioning duct. So there are, or air conditioning system, so there are ways that any way that water gets aerosolized can lead to you inhaling the organism.
So it's not contractable person to person.
No,
it's not coughing or sneezing. It's not airborne in that sense.
No.
From person to person.
It's not like the measles or tuberculosis, which is airborne. This is spread by the water, by water being aerosolized and then inhaling it. It also has a tendency to infect those whose immune system is not as strong as a normal person. So if somebody has diabetes or they have cancer and they're on chemotherapy, they are much more at risk than people who do not have those underlying immune deficiencies.
So what exactly do you see? What are the symptoms? I mean, how do you know that you're getting it?
So it starts out much like influenza. So you get body aches, fever, muscle aches, you may get diarrhea. And then about 2 or 3 days into it, you develop a cough, and then you become short of breath as the pneumonia worsens.
So it obviously, that's the beginning in the first few days, but it's even though it primarily affects the lungs, can it cause infections in other parts of the body and therefore create wreak havoc?
Yes, so I think two things can happen. It can cause central nervous system involvement, and it can cause diarrhea, but also the body's immune response to the organism. There are many inflammatory chemicals that your body makes to fight the infection. They can damage other organs, so that can lead to what we call adult respiratory distress syndrome, which is where the lung gets damaged by these chemical mediators. But the kidneys can shut down, the liver can shut down, so any part of the body can shut down with this, and we call that multi-organ failure syndrome.
What about diagnosis and treatment? I mean, how do you know, now that you obviously have identified the bug, there's a way of approaching it, and you were saying prophylactically you often do this broad spectrum approach, but how is it actually diagnosed?
So one way to diagnose it is to do a urine antigen. So about 80%, there are many different types of Legionella, not just Legionella pneumoniae, but the majority of them, about 80% of them, can be identified by a urine test. So you collect a urine specimen, they look for some protein from the Legionella in your urine, and they can identify it in 80% of the cases. The other 20% of the cases you could miss that way. So that's not a 100% test. Another way you can do it is collect sputum or bronchoscopy specimens for culture. Think of Legionella. You have to tell the lab that you want them to do a special culture for Legionella because it requires special media. It won't grow on media that most bacteria grow on. And then a third way is by serology. So you have somebody who's ill. You collect a blood sample. You look at their serum for antibodies to the Legionella, and then you repeat the test 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, and if the titer of the antibodies went way up, that would tell you there was a recent infection.
But it sounds to me like treatment at this point
has to precede that. Yes.
Treatment occurs preceding any kind of diagnosis.
Yes, the cultures take 5 to 6 days, and usually the treatment's done by that period of time. So the important thing is to follow the Infectious Disease Society's guidelines and the American Thoracic Society's guidelines for community-acquired pneumonia. So if you follow those guidelines and treat them with the appropriate antibiotic that they recommend, you will cover Legionella as well as many other common causes of pneumonia.
So if you were to find a patient coming to this hospital or any other medical center and with a very severe form of pneumonia, you would automatically think the potential for Legionella.
Yes.
Based on all that you've said.
They would think of it in the emergency room even before somebody from my division would get to see the patient.
And are there ways to prevent it? In other words, you're talking about water systems.
Yeah, so
are there things in place to try to prevent it?
So here at Upstate, we check our water every month. The Infectious Control Committee and the engineering department keep an eye on this. Every month they do a culture of the water to look for Legionella. And they have a system, a chelating system, that treats the water, which will kill the organism.
But does it exist in the general public? Does it exist in some places more than others, for example, regions of this country?
So it's for some reason it's more common in western Pennsylvania and Michigan. There's a higher incidence of disease there. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe the water conditions are better there.
They have better water, and yet they're spreading Legionella. Well, that's very, very interesting. And basically today, then, the mortality rate has fallen, I would think, with this kind of aggressive treatment.
Yes.
So it is no longer, we needn't fear it the way we did when it first was diagnosed. That's correct. Well, I want to thank you for coming in. It's very, very enlightening information, helpful to understand. I think in the past, hearing that diagnosis was something somewhat frightening to people.
Yeah.
So good to know that we have a way of treating it these days successfully.
It's still serious, though.
It's still quite serious, yes. Well, thank you so very much. My guest has been Dr. Robert Lennox. He's professor of medicine emeritus and the past chief of the Division of Pulmonary Critical Care at Upstate Medical University. Once again, I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.